Welcome to the Everything Action Cast, the official podcast of everythingaction.com.
Hello and welcome to the Everything Action Cast, the podcast for the week of April 1st, 2024. I'm your host, Zach.
I'm your co-host, Chris.
And yeah, this week we are grabbing our 2x4 and smashing some casinos up because we are talking about the 2004 Walking Tall, which celebrated its 20th anniversary this week. Came out April 2nd, 2004. One of the early movies starring Dwayne The Rock Johnson. I think it was his third movie overall in like a starring role. And a remake of the 1973 cult classic movie that starred Jonah Baker. All of it inspired by real-life vigilante sheriff Buford Pusser,
who lived a very strange and tragic life.
Yes, he was a wrestler. He was a Marine. He then became sheriff of like this like county in Tennessee, and then basically like went on like a one-man war against like the mafia, and then had 9 assassination attempts on him or something.
Something like that. And it's like, he is not talked about a lot. He was like a regional folk hero in his area. And
yeah.
I think by the time the first Walking Tall movie came out, that's where people were like, have you heard about this guy that did this?
And they really latched on to like, he had like a bunch of like hickory clubs that he would like, or like beat people down with, or like used for like his like, you know, policing. Like, because I think the original Jonah Baker movie, that was like a big thing, was like, oh man, he's got his clubs, he's going around beating people with clubs. And then
I don't know if that's better or worse for certain situations.
Yeah, and then the Rock version also includes that, although I think to a much lesser extent than the Jonah Baker movie from 1973. And also changes the name because I believe there was something like this might be just like, I don't know if I've read this before or like it's just like if it's true or not, but like I think there was something where like The Rock was like, I'm not calling my character I'm not playing a guy named Buford Pusser, so they renamed his character to Chris Vaughn.
Yeah, you know what it is? Maybe it was that. They really didn't want to confuse people with the original Walking Tall movie.
Yeah. I mean, it's a remake of they were calling it a remake of the original, although the reversion, but and same sort of plot or like idea.
Same idea, plot is it varies. Especially with like the love interest part.
Mm-hmm. But The Rock is Chris Vaughn, who is a Army Special Forces. He's like an Army Ranger or something, I guess. And he's
a trained guy.
Yeah, badass military guy. He's been away from home for 8 years, and he comes home, and his dream is to work in the like cedar mill that his dad worked in. But then he comes home, and he finds like the mill is closed, and now the entire town is like kind of funded by this sleazy casino run by his rich douchebag high school friend Jay Hamilton, who's played by one of the best like villain character actors, Neil McDonough, who's always like, if you need like a smarmy like douchey villain guy, like Neil McDonough is always like he always brings it for being in that role. Like, even and if he's like, he's always good even if the movie's terrible, like Legend of Chun-Li, we played that Bison, like,
yeah, he's probably the only good part about that movie.
Yeah,
except you ignore the fact that he is somehow in Bison.
He also kind of like he carried like long stretches of the Arrowverse as like Damian Dark. The 2004 Walking Tall has two like go to villain actors, because like Kevin Durand is also like, he's like the like sadistic like head security Booth, who's like like fucks up The Rock early on in the movie.
Yeah, he's I'm surprised that he got like the that like henchman dude in the beginning, and then he's never in the final fight. It's just he's in it for the beginning, and then that's it. Mm. He just sort of just takes a backseat to everything. He becomes like a bumbling goon.
Yeah, it is kind of odd because like he like early on he's like very like you know sadistic and calculating, and it's like, oh, this guy is gonna be trouble. And then he gets like halfway through it's just like, oh yeah, he's just like they arrested him, and he's like now he's just like a bumbling like joke now. Like they're like making like tons of jokes at his expense.
And like I think what's also missing about this movie is that there's no big bad either. Like there's no Roadhouse-esque big tough guy that they've been hinting at. It's just like the Rock versus the casino empire.
Yeah.
Slash drug ring.
It's actually, I was thinking about it, like it's very like this movie has like watching this again, like right after watching like, you know, the new Roadhouse. We were talking last week about like tonal, like wild tonal shifts and stuff like that. Like this Walking Tall 2004 has similar like wild tonal shifts.
But I like that. I mean, it starts with that concept, and then you think it's going to be very tongue-in-cheek just by how, like, it's intro. But as soon as they get to the casino part and it becomes, like, a horror movie.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I definitely got Roadhouse vibes, the way they presented this movie.
Well, it's also, too, because, like, you'll get, like, a Johnny Knoxville, who was the co-star of this movie, as playing, like, The Rock's best friend. You'll get some scene where he's like riffing and like doing like comedy stuff, and they cut to like your nephew almost died from crystal meth. Like,
yeah. Oh my god, the Johnny Knoxville parts are great. It just reminds me of his character also from The Last Stand.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost the same character.
Well, I feel like this period, like this like the early 2000 period, I feel it was like a kind of like, I feel like Hollywood was like doing like an experiment of like, can Johnny Knoxville be a star outside of Jackass? Because he was into like a ton of stuff that wasn't Jackass stuff. Like he was in like Men in Black 2 and like Dukes of Hazzard and this and I think
Men in Black 2 was like 2001, 2002 maybe.
2002, yeah. But yeah, he was in like a bunch of stuff, and he was like the star, and it's just like I guess maybe go back to Jackass for a while. Like,
well, I think by 2004, Jackass was like almost over.
Jackass number two was 2006, and then after that, if you look at Johnny Knoxville's like filmography, it's like he was in like The Ringer, and then it was like 2006 was like Jackass number two, and then after that, it's like pretty much all just like Jackass or Nitro Circus until like Last Stand.
That was like
2013. Yeah, it was like 10 years ago, so.
Wow. I mean, I feel like he can act. I like Johnny Knoxville in this.
Yeah, it definitely felt like in like this, like, yeah, the early 2000s, they were like, hey, can we make Johnny Knoxville like an actual like movie star, not like a like this like guy who like hurts himself in Jackass movies.
Yeah, they just don't want to they want him to be more of a serious role, even though this is the right move where Johnny Knoxville is pretty much doing Jackass-like stunts for a little bit, mm-hmm. but slowly eases into more of the action and more suspense for him.
No, but yeah, you can definitely tell they just let him like all of his scenes, they just let him just like go off and just riff. Like I'm sure he was just like improvising everything he was saying.
Yeah. And the physical comedy, just like, all right, what's my thing? Like, oh, I need to like goof around on this car. Okay.
Did you get the sense too that like The Rock was like was trying, like I feel like this is like one of the first like he was trying to be like he had the Scorpion King in the Rundown. And this one, like, I feel like he was, like, trying to be, like, all right, I'm going to be, like, a little more dramatic in this one. Like, this is going to be, like, my, like, first, like, dramatic, gritty role.
Oh, yeah. I got that vibe as soon as he was doing that courtroom speech.
Well, that plus, like, and then, like he's not really a jokey character. I mean, he has a couple jokes, but, like, he's a lot more serious. Like, he's a lot more, like, grounded, I guess. Especially coming off the movie right before this was The Rundown, which is like, you know, super crazy over the top, like Peter Berg, like super stylish, like, oh, like adventure Indiana Jones. And then like this one's just like, wow, this is like a crazy like 180 to like away from that movie.
I always thought this Rundown came out after this, but
I
get what you mean. Like, it's less fun and it's more like, oh shit, this could happen in my town too. I can relate to The Rock.
And it's like the ravages of like crystal meth and like small towns and like the like like what happens when like a town's industry collapses. Like,
yeah, it's when the economy is run by basically the same guy that did Roadhouse.
Mm-hmm.
You could tell me that this is the same universe as Roadhouse and it makes sense.
Yeah, it's like, where is Dalton? they didn't bring Dalton as like the head of security for that, the Wild Cherry Casino.
Which, the Wild Cherry, we'll talk about that place. It's, want to get into that or want to finish more about the serious Rock?
Well, I was just going to say, I remember, we were talking about The Rundown. Like, I remember, because I love The Rundown. Like, it's like, Rundown is still awesome. And I remember, like, going this, like, the walking down, I was like, oh, shit, yes, next Rock movie. Bring it on. And I'm like, this, it's okay. It's this is good, but it's not as good as, like, The Rundown. Like, I feel like this is like a step down for, like, The Rundown, where it's like, because The Rundown's, like, firing on all cylinders. Like, Christopher Walken and all the action and everything in that movie.
I give you that. This is definitely a different version of The Rock.
Yes.
He's still pretty realistic. If some military guy came back and trying to, like, I don't know, like, find a new path in life and all that, like, it's good. But yeah, Rundown is more intensity and like escalation. This has a lot of moment pauses, and then it's like you could feel when the music changes, and that's when The Rock's gonna say some sort of, like, you know, dramatic beat.
There's scenes where it's like, I need to show off my acting chops. I need to have like these like dramatics, like just or not even dramatic, just like non-action, just like acting scenes with like characters, like just like doing dialogue with other characters.
I mean, it's fine with him and his family because he's trying to understand his nephew. That's where it really starts coming out too. When he has like a heart to heart to his like ex-girlfriend and all that.
Yeah.
That gets up there.
You know, one thing I did appreciate though, too, like going back to this after like, you know, like recent Rock movies is like, I appreciate this one had like a little bit of like some grit to it with like, you know, the drugs and like the Rock getting fucked up and like,
because current
Rock is like so sterilized and like family friendly. It's like, you know, it's all Disney movies or like whatever. Like he's very like playing it safe currently, and it's fun to go back and see like, oh man, yeah, like, this is like had some like, you know, some grit, some like some rough edges on it.
Well, I do like in this one they didn't work in wrestling moves yet.
Yeah,
it's one of the few Rock movies where he doesn't try to do some sort of like people's elbow.
I mean, that was like the first thing in like The Rundown and in like the awesome like opening like club fight. He basically does like a rock bottom to like a guy.
Yep. Oh, it was also this movie before Dune.
Doom was the next year. So the year after this was Be Cool and Doom.
Wow. All right. So yeah. So with Doom and then this, like, it's like out of order for me. Like, if you had to show the escalation of The Rock, yeah, you would say this definitely is more.
It feels like this should be the first one. Like, this feels like the earliest one. Like
introducing The Rock as this, because there are some times where this feels just like a WWE movie.
Mm-hmm.
And they just want to highlight like the acting roles and then the almost like budgeted things. So that's why there's a lot of like downbeat scenes where you see The Rock just hang out at home or like fixing a porch, you know, like very basic things that don't really push anything in the story, but just to show that The Rock is just like fed up with waiting.
Mm-hmm.
The heart-to-heart moments, it's like braked in. It's like, okay, you got that part with like him and his family, him and his sister, which I don't think, like, I think the sister tried to act like that actress was just going to be the girlfriend role, then all right, let's just like change it.
Yeah.
There is weird tension between them.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get the girlfriend, which not bad, like fun introduction.
Well, it's at the casino, which you, like, we were talking about. Like, let's jump in.
Yeah,
like,
talk about the casino.
The casino scene.
It takes a while to get to the casino.
Well, yeah. So the Rock comes home, and then he finds out the mill's closed, and there's a casino. But then he gets back, like, he meets all his old friends, and they have like, there's like the Top Gun style like football game they play. Where it's like,
yeah,
hey,
it's our weekly
football game, and it's like a montage of like Red Hot Chili Peppers and.
Yeah, I totally forgot what the soundtrack was like for this movie, so I was surprised to hear a Red Hot Chili Pepper song in there.
Yeah,
it's like Portland that they're in, not like California.
Yeah, they're in like Washington, it's like Pacific Northwest. They're in like Washington somewhere.
They're right next to like the Pine Shack, like the Mystery Shack.
Yeah. And then that football game is like the first indication of like, you know, like that like Neil McDonough's like his like nefarious nature, even though it's like he's like, go for the knee, his knee's bad. Like, I want to win at any cost. But then he's like, oh man, yeah, that was a fun game. Hey, yeah, you should come to the casino. It's on me. Like, well, you'll have like, you know, free drinks or whatever. So yeah, so then the Rock giant knocks on all his friends who disappear shortly after the scene. Like, after what happens to the Rock, all those guys are just like, well, this is too much for us, we're out. Like, but yeah, this casino, I mean, I think you go to more casinos than me, Chris. Like, have you ever seen like a casino that's like also like a strip club?
No, like, especially not like this. Yeah, like Vegas doesn't even have like a strip club casino. I think it's just like,
it's like there's two separate things. It's like, it's, yeah, you're a strip club or you're a casino. You're not both. Like,
it's because like liquor licenses are weird.
Mm-hmm.
Like a lot of places in America can't be like a casino, strip club, liquor. Like I've been to places where if you want to go like to see, like they'll have dancing ladies, which is fine. Like I feel like a lot of the other parts of the main building is fine.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's like, oh, in our back room VIP jerk off room, like, what is this?
With like the like it's like a dollar like arcade feeder. It's like you're feeding dollars into like this like it's like an arcade machine.
Yeah, yeah. Like if I see that in a place, I'm like, this isn't high class. Like, this is weird.
No.
Let alone what they sit in is like a leather lounge chair from IKEA, and mm-hmm. like you're not the first guy to sit in that.
Or and who knows what the guys before you have done in that chair too.
Yeah. I mean that town is Roadhouse town again. So these people are just fighting. Any excuse to fight and then drink and then do something crazy. But that's the thing, they moved off beyond drinking. Now everyone's got a meth problem.
Yeah. Well, there's also like it's like the shower towers where it's like a carnival game, but you're like hitting like these like it's like the hammer smash game, but you're like smashing it so that, like girls like rise to the ceiling and get like wet t-shirt showers on.
That is all sorts of OSHA violations.
Yeah,
I'll tell you that. Like,
it's just like an open like shower like head just like go flowing into like the middle of a casino.
Middle of a casino with girls who are not secure to a moving elevator.
No,
that is,
yeah,
like,
and then not, like it's like two stories up, three stories up. Like they're going pretty high in that casino. Like they're like to the ceiling of this casino.
At least two stories. Then yeah. It's operated by how fast you smash the paddle.
Yeah.
You know, like it's very bizarre. I don't know if that's real or that was like a thing.
No.
That, you know, or they just totally built it.
I don't think anything in this movie is like tied to anything real. Like we'll get to the courtroom scene too. Like it's like the most ridiculous courtroom scene in movie history.
Yeah, speaking of, like, ridiculous, like, this movie is a span of, like, 6 months?
Oh, I was gonna talk about that, too. It's like, there's no sense of, like, how long things are, take to happen in this movie. Because people will talk about things where, like, it just happened, but then, like, you get to also get the sense, like, later on, where it's, like, months between what happened.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I feel like some scenes are like vignettes of things that are, happened in the past or going to happen.
Well, there's like several montages. There's montages that like are like trying to like show the passage of time, and it's like, how long is this? Is this weeks? Is this days? Is this months? Like,
you know, if they really wanted to speed up the movie and really focus in the middle, where the part where at some point Dwayne the Rock becomes a cop, like,
yeah.
Start with a casino scene. Start with like an introduction where he shows up and he's like, "Hey man, it's good to be home. Hang out with my friends. Oh, our old friend runs this casino. Blah blah blah." And then like then go from there. But they really have to show you the town and the drug use, then the
every store in the town is like either like it's like a porn store or like a cash checking pawn shop kind of thing. And all the actual stores, like the hardware store, like the supermarket, are all closed. So it's like this like apocalyptic. It's like everything that was like good about this town is like closed and gone, and now it's just like meth addicts and like cash checking stores and like porn shops and then like the weird casino / strip club. Which you know, going back to the casino. We get to see, which I think there's a similar scene in the original, like the 73 movie as well, where like the Rock see like one of his friends is like playing craps, and then the Rock using his like special forces skills is able to see like the dealer squish the dice with lowered dice.
He can sense like I don't know, like illegal moves. In dice moving, maybe that's like a special force training.
Yeah.
Where it's like,
well, he
gets the trick dice.
Yeah, he sees like the sleight of hand the guy uses, and then his friend loses. But then the Rock's like, "Well, I'm gonna bet all your money. I'm gonna bet on 7 because it's come up 7." And he makes a whole scene, and then gets into a fight with all the security guys, and then they basically like take him down, and then they like basically like Robert De Niro casino him and drag him into the back room. And this, and then Kevin Durant. This is where Kevin Durant like shows off his like his like sadistic like villain side, where he's just like, "I'm gonna cut this guy with a box knife." Like,
well, he says like special forces means special treatment.
Yeah,
and it's no like, one stops him. Something crazy in that town.
Well, it's the crazy thing is like when the guy is like, "Hey, this guy is friends with our boss." He's like, "Hey, this guy knows Jay," or like he's just like, and Kevin Durant played football with the Rock like fucking like what 2 hours ago.
All
and, like,
of them did.
They all did, and then he's just like, "I played football with this guy. I know this is my boss's friend, but I'm like caught him to the point where he's like almost left for dead." Like,
and the zanier thing is that. They drop him off at the edge of town.
Yep.
And then he gets found by a trucker who I then it's like, I guess he's barely alive or he's just really messed up.
Yeah, the doctor says they basically left him for dead, and then if he wasn't the Rock, he would have been dead because
gotcha.
Like, he's the Rock. Like, so he survived, but someone else wouldn't have survived.
So they weren't even gonna like fuck him up. They were trying to kill him basically.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
And then no one investigates it. Not even the next town over, not even the state, just whatever.
Well, because the sheriff is, like, you know, totally, like, we learned pretty quickly, he's, like, totally in the pocket of Neil McDonough and is, like, a loser. Who just, like, is, like, and then is, like, well, the casino did an internal investigation, so, like, we're good. Like, we're not going to do anything.
Which, it's another like fantasy town where you complain to the police and they're like, "Nope," and then that's it. Like, there's no any follow up or any kind of like, "Hey, this hospital has a record of finding this man like this. Like, we should probably submit it to something." Just like, nope.
Well, that's one of the crazy like time frame things that we were talking about, where it's you have a montage of like, you know, the Rock recovering after like recovering from his injuries, and then is that weeks, is that months, we don't know, but then. After that, he goes to the police station. He's like, "Hey, I want to press charges." And it's like, and then the sheriff's like, "Oh, that thing that happened like months ago at the casino." And it's like, "Well, we're not gonna do anything." And then I think that like, pretty much immediately after that, like the Rock is like, "Hey, your nephew almost died from crystal meth." Like,
yeah, that's what kind of drives the Rock to kind of do something.
Yeah, because he finds out like that the guys at the casino are selling crystal meth, and there's also like we find out later there's they have a full meth lab somewhere in town that the Rock has to find. But yeah, this is when you get like the big. He drives to the casino. He pulls out two. Like at first, he's gonna go in the shotgun. He's like, "All right, I'm not gonna kill anybody. I'm just gonna go."
Now you're going on a shooting spree.
Yeah, I'll grab one of these 2x4s in the back of my truck, and then use that to just like smash guys' arms to pieces and like smash the casino.
Smart move. I mean, even his dad's like, "Don't use the gun." You're gonna be like. Even if you're in the right, you're going to be super like in the wrong.
Well, I'm surprised he like, you know, like in like Con Air where they're like the Nicolas Cage defends himself from the guys like literally going to stab him to death, and like the judge is like, because you're a trained soldier, you're a lethal weapon. Your hands are lethal weapons, so that you're getting like the maximum sentence. It's like an Army Ranger has a. Like a 2x4, like Hacksaw Jim Duggan style, is like going to like smashing guys' arms to pieces. And he tears through the guy, like tears through the casino, causes a bunch of damage, but then he gets arrested, and then we get the like one of the most unrealistic court scenes in the movie history, where it's like every single person that works in the casino is like testifying against the Rock and saying he's like a crazy monster, and then his lawyer's not doing anything. Because I think the idea is like the lawyer is also on like Neil McDonough's payroll, like literally every person like Neil McDonough's like bribing every single person in town, like owns every single person in town. So like the Rock fires him, then he gives like this like huge like election speech basically, and then it's like no one's stopping him. It's like not this how you like you know try a case or like present your case. But he's like basically like is like giving this like whole like I grew up in this town, we gotta make this town great again. Like
all the regular townsfolk though, they understand that they're in a like a town of corruption. Mm-hmm. So that makes sense that as soon as you can get like a public elected official that I guess Neil McDonough hasn't had his fingers on yet, it's easy.
But it's kind of, I mean, if you think about it, I mean. The Rock was in the wrong because he just stormed into a casino and started smashing things and beating guys down. he was provoked, but like to everyone, like you could argue it was unprovoked. He just like started just like drove up there and started smashing everything. But then the jury's like, "Well, I liked his speech, so we're gonna make him not guilty."
We're gonna forget the basic rules of breaking and entering.
Yeah,
it wasn't even a casino. I think it was still open, right? I think. So he walked.
But it was like noon, so there's like no one there basically. Like he comes in, it was like literally no one's there. But I think it was still open because there's like a waitress was there and stuff. But it was like the middle of the day, so no one's like I guess no one's there in the middle of the, like the, in like in at the afternoon or the morning.
It would have been a whole different time if he showed up at night and it was crowded, and he threw this 2x4 into that dumb. Shower thing. Mm-hmm. Then the Rock has to be like, "Oh yeah, I was angry. I didn't mean to do all that."
Yeah, I have PTSD.
He's actually pretty calm without it. Mm-hmm. It was more like he was anti-killing until it was like, "That's it.
Yeah,
time for the killing to come back."
Kind of like a throwback to like the Rundown where you like refuse to use guns until the end.
To the end, till he uses basically.
Double two shotguns at the same time, yeah. But yeah, because of his speech, he gets elected. He's elected sheriff. He fires all the other cops. He gets Johnny Knoxville to be his deputy, and then they go on like a two-man war on drugs.
And I'm surprised they didn't try to go after Johnny Knoxville.
Like after being a deputy, yeah.
Yeah, they really just went after the Rock.
Mm-hmm.
In a typical like 80s movie, Johnny Knoxville would have been dead.
he's like too good of a guy. He's like likable, and then that just puts like an X on your back.
Like right before like the final fight, like they would like he would have got killed, or like they would have killed him, and then the Rock is like, now it's personal now. It's like revenge. Like
yeah,
I will avenge you.
I hated that guy, but now I really hate him.
Or the Rock would have discovered Giant Axel's body somewhere.
Yep.
And then that would have done it.
They would have like make it look like he like overdosed on crystal meth or something. But
the movie actually points out that Giant Axel like got sober. He's actually like a good guy.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I like his character. He has a lot of like growth for just the brief things in him.
Yeah, like he knows he fucked up earlier in his life, but now he's trying to be better and like but he still has like his like sense of humor.
Yep.
And then there's another montage where it's like the drug takedown montage where they're like going around town like trying to like which it's like it doesn't seem like they do like that much. They like arrest like a couple like users or tweakers, and they find like one guy supplying them, and then they get to like Kevin Durant, who's like one dealer. And then they find like a burrito size like thing of like I guess meth or heroin or something in his leg. And then we get like the pretty fun scene where like they tear apart his car like truck, which is like one of the big like that's like the Giant Knoxville like humor showcase where it's just, like he's constantly just like playing with like steering wheels and like doing like one liners and like making fun of Kevin Durant.
Yeah. Who the richest man in this town is just gonna buy another truck. Like don't sweat over it. And I guess that was his mindset. He's just like whatever, like we just buy more.
Oh, which speaking of which I wanna mention like so there's right after the Rock is elected sheriff, like there's a scene where like he pulls over Neil McDonough and he's like and basically have like they're like, well, I'm coming after you, and then like McDonough's like, well, you better watch out because I'm coming after you, and then we get there's a crazy silent Kobe Smulders cameo.
So I didn't know that was her because I was like, that looks awfully like her.
Yes,
she has to be like 20 in that scene.
I think this is like literally the year before How I Met Your Mother started. So it's like a year later she'd be like co-starring in like this like huge CBS sitcom. Like
what?
One year before she's a silent like girlfriend of Neil McDonough in Rocky Tall.
Wait, was it 2005?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I remember September
2005 is when How I Met Your Mother started. So
holy shit.
It's nuts. It's like like a year later she would be like one of the most recognizable people on TV. It's just like
I barely could recognize her in the car.
Yeah. She plays Exotic Beauty. That's her credit in the movie.
No offense to Kobe. It's like she's not exotic.
I would say like sunglasses woman or something would be a better credit, or like
or just like car lady car girlfriend or, like or
yeah
car date.
Yeah.
Exotic woman. No, but she's not like mix of like multicultural or something. And yeah. No, she's not wearing like any headdress.
Mm-hmm. It's like she's Canadian. That's exotic.
I know. It's like, I mean, technically, this movie's filmed in Canada.
Or like Canada adjacent. like you drive like an hour and you're in Canada.
Yep. You just cross over late by accident, you know, somehow, and you're in Toronto.
But yeah, that Neil McDonough, like, the Kobe Smulders scene is, like, the last time The Rock uses, like, because there's this whole thing where he uses the 2x4. The 2x4 is, like, used for evidence in court, and then he takes it, like, when he gets, like, acquitted, he takes the, like, 2x4 back, and he's like, this is mine. And then he turns it into a club, but then the only time he uses the club is to smash Neil McDonough's, like, taillights, and basically, like, taillights out. Get them fixed. And then he never uses that club again.
Yeah.
Which I guess they had to like they had to do some sort of like acknowledgement of like Buford Pusser used like these like hickory clubs in his like vigilante crime fighting. But So it's like, well, we gotta have a club, but then they couldn't figure out any way to use it, or they didn't want to use it for the rest of the movie. Because like, The Rock, he basically reverts to, like, shotguns and his fists for the rest of the movie.
Which, not bad. When it gets to, like, the time to get serious parts.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Which is, like, when after they strip down, like, Kevin Durant's truck and they don't find anything, he's locked up in jail. But then The Rock thinks that Neil McDonough is going to send guys to, like, after him and his family. So then he sends Johnny Knoxville to go protect his family. And then he's going to stay at the jail with Kevin Durant and guard him. And then that's when, like, Ashley Scott shows up and is like, hey, I made you dinner. And also, let's fuck in the police station. Like, right next to where Kevin Durant is, like staying in his cell, which that had to be super awkward for him. Like, just like,
that is
I'm sure you could hear that through the window. It wasn't like I'm sure it was like very thick walls in the police station.
No. So I totally forgot that Ashley Scott was in Birds of Prey.
Mm-hmm. Well, I didn't realize when I was looking up what she was doing for, like, before we, because she's obviously in this movie, and then it's like, I didn't know she was, like, Maria in The Last of Us.
Yeah, that part was cool.
Which is, like, one of the most recent things she's done. Which it's cool she's still doing, like, stuff, and it's a really awesome thing to be in. So. It's also funny that she was in, I think she was also kind of like the girlfriend love interest in, like, 12 Rounds, which is, like, you know, a John Cena, like, another, like, wrestler movie.
That came, and like, she was also the, like, a love interest girl in SWAT.
Mm-hmm.
So she was just in movies as, like, the attractive female, but this one she does a little bit more-ish?
Sorta, yeah. She gets to, like, help out a little bit in the, like, the big, like, shootout at the police station.
That's not even the final scene. Like, that's her three scenes in this movie, I think.
Yeah. And one of them is the super awkward, like, striptease scene. Where it's like, she's a sexy firefighter.
I'm for that. That's fine.
But yeah, there's two huge shootouts. There's, like, a shootout at the police station. There's a shootout at, like, the Vaughn family house, which the Vaughn house is, like, weird. It has, like, this, like, really weird, like, comedic, like, thing to it, where it's like Johnny Knoxville, like, is, like, trying to defend the house, and then he is shot in the leg, and then he and one of the guys have, like, this, like, really, like, crazy, like, they're just, like, jumping, like, launching it, like, diving behind stuff, like, shooting shotguns at each other and missing constantly. And there's, like hoedown music playing.
Yeah, that's the movie kind of gets to, like, a silly level again. Again, it has moments where it's super serious, a home invasion just happened, and then it's just funny music.
Yeah. Well, even within that scene, it changes, because, like, yeah, all the Johnny Knoxville stuff is, like, wacky. Like, he's, like, stabbing out some, like, potato peelers, and, like, there's the whole, like, yeah, this, like, shot, super close-range shotgun thing where they can hit each other and, like, diving around the entire house. But then it ends with, like, The Rock's dad, like, shooting a guy in cold blood, or, like, shooting a guy, and it's, like, super serious. It's, like, I had to kill a man, like, to defend my family. I never had to do that. Like, so that's how that scene ends, but everything leading up to that was, like, a wacky, like, Johnny Knoxville, like, action sequence.
True. Yeah, I mean, I guess the family was, like, anti-gun, but then, so the dad was, like, oh, we kept, like, The Rock was like, I thought we were going to get rid of this shotgun. And the dad's like, ah, we'll see what happens. Like, it was such a Chekhov's gun.
And then I think he, like, there's parts too where, like, the dad is like, well, I didn't really agree with, like, your career choice. I didn't think you should have gone to the army.
But yeah, so the dad is weird. I thought, is he pro guns but anti army?
Yeah.
And he knew that The Rock was kind of affected by the war he was in.
Which,
so then he's like, yeah, I want you to also, like, maintain the shotgun. That would help you.
Mm-hmm. And then at the police station, like, I'm assuming, like Neil McDonough bought it for them, but, like, because it's the former sheriff and all the like, fired deputies show up, and they're like, but they have, like, military.
Wait, all those are former deputies?
I think, or just like dudes that like the like Michael Bowen, the sheriff, like found. It's like, hey, come with me, like kill a new sheriff. Like,
I think that's what it was. I think it was just the former deputy and then a bunch of mercenaries, because for a lot of those guys, they are terrible shots for
yes.
cop enforcement.
Well, I was gonna say, but like I'm assuming like Neil McDonough must have bought their guns for them, because it's like they have like military grade like giant machine guns.
Yeah, they have machine saws, the yeah. ones that you mount
yes.
on a Humvee or something,
like 50 cals and like yeah, that's yeah. like
the fact like, that they're not just shooting into the air and being pushed back is already like a thing, and then like these bullets are armor piercing and go through the wall, like they're going through the building.
Yeah.
So they're not just some pop shotting it, but yeah, that's why I was surprised. I didn't mind because the deputy was an asshole. Like, his true colors was still with Neil McDonough's casino tourism.
Yep.
But it seems like the whole town should have done that, where they like rebelled as soon as the sheriff was in danger. The town, like Rock's friends and other people, should have just all
came to the rescue. That's what I said earlier. Like all of his other like football friends just disappeared. They're just like, we don't want to, we're not any part of this. Like, where are those guys? Like, make all of them deputies. Like,
yeah, but I guess some of them can't. Like, just because they're either out of shape. I guess out of the bunch, only Johnny Knoxville was ready, like prepared to be a sheriff.
Well, he didn't even want to be a sheriff. Like, he's like, I hate cops. Like.
But then that makes him the best sheriff of them all, like the best deputy. Mm-hmm.
The one who doesn't want it is the best.
Yeah.
And there's some cool like Rock tactics where like he's like hiding underneath the building, and then like he like pops out and like shoots the sheriff at the old sheriff after like tricking him. And he's like shooting guys through like the foundation, and when they try to like come into like the police station.
Yeah, does the sheriff place not have weapons?
Yeah, you would think they would have like, you know, machine guns or like some sort of arsenal, but like it's like he has like a pistol and a shotgun. That's all he has. Or like, you know, like smoke grenades or like flashbangs.
No, I get why the town is just, the police stations are terrible underfunded.
It's a small town like that, like lost its like main source of income. So
I get why they just don't have tactical stuff, because crime is controlled by that casino, so there's no outside mob or anything. Because mm-hmm. everyone just loves to go to this town and get drugs and then stare at the water. Mm-hmm. Which, you know, it's funny. I think all besides the lumber mill set piece, they don't really utilize the woods.
Well, I was gonna say it's the opposite, like, because like. If we get to like the, so like after these like two shootouts, like it's, we're in like the final showdown, which is at the lumber mill, which you find out that like you know, Jay Hamilton, Neil McDonough, turned into, which it was his family's sawmill, and he sold it to build the casino, so he basically destroyed the town to make a casino, but then he turned the sawmill into a meth lab. That's where they're making all the meth. And then you would think like, oh, we got this awesome location for this final fight where it's like there's saws, there's all this machinery, we could have this like big fight in this like sawmill, but then it just spills out into like the woods, and they have to fight the final fight's in the woods,
and then it's just literally places where sticks are everywhere, and like the Rock's strength, it's like, oh, is this a stick? Great, this is my weapon.
Because it starts out, it's like, oh, Neil McDonough's like, he's turning on all the machines, like the Rock's hanging off a saw, like we're gonna get some crazy, like, is he gonna throw Neil McDonough into a saw and kill him? Like, are they gonna like jump around and like dodge like logs and stuff? But it's just like, no, they fall down a chute and like they're in the woods now. And
now they're
like,
outside.
Yeah, they're throwing each other against trees. And then Neil McDonough does have an axe, which like he like when he gets the axe, like he just turns into like full on, like he's is just, like no jokes, no banter, just like, I'm gonna fucking murder you with this axe. Like. Yep. He just gets like so serious and like murderous when he gets that axe. But yeah, they have this big like knockdown dragout fight in the woods, and then the Rock beats him by like breaking his leg with a giant branch, which I guess is also like it's another like, you know, wooden club throwback to like the original, or like that's you know the Walking Tall kind of like club thing.
And almost every version of Walking Tall, even the unfortunate Kevin Sorbo one,
the two sequels to this movie,
and I think also the Walking Tall TV show that was also like in the '70s.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, throwing the club is like a thing, or throwing the piece of wood.
Yeah.
Not only is it not just using it as like a bashing tool, but just hucking it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which. We were talking about that, like how the ridiculous the Rocks trial was. I would love to see like the trial for like convicting Neil McDonough.
Yeah, I want to see like what speech he has to give to tell him to keep him in jail.
And also just like how brutal, like it's like, well, I went to the hospital to arrest him, and then I shattered his like femur with a tree branch after we had this like fight in the woods, like.
I mean, I think it was justified. He had an axe. Yeah. He went through like a gauntlet of things.
Equal force to yeah. like.
And Neil McDonough wasn't there to like cripple The Rock or do anything. He was there to like murder him.
Yeah. But there's also like no witnesses. It's just The Rock.
Rock in the woods.
There are only two people there.
You know, there has to be a joke about like wood, rock. Paper, like,
oh my god! If he made some sort of like rock beats wood or something joke,
yeah, something like that,
or wood beats like if
you know wood rock beats like you know wood beats casino.
You'd have to have like Neil McDonough's name would have to be like J Stone or something. It have like a rock based like pun name.
Yeah, Hamilton is like a regal last name, so yeah it should have been like. J Marvel
or he should have made like The Rock should have made some sort of like casino like yeah, pun like, or something at the end
because it kind of ties back to the casino at the end where they close the casino but yeah I thought the set piece could be at the casino and the lumber mill are like miles apart I think.
Well it's weird because like you see that final scene and like you can see the sawmill from the casino. Cause like they go over.
Oh yeah, yeah. They're like, oh yeah, it's an operational guy.
Yeah, and it's like you can hear like the lunch bell. And it's like, hey, let's go pick up Dad. He's like, he's back at the sawmill working.
Like down the road.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's weird because you're right. The Rock makes it seem like, the lumber mill should be by the forest, but then the casino is also by the mountain forest because it's something Johnny Knoxville mentions early in the movie when they go there. He's like, oh yeah, like, it sort of blends right into the mountain, this needed casino. Like, he points out that the casino looks ugly, it's tacky in here. Mm-hmm. But considering that if you remove the like, terrible strip club part about it, and the, you know, the town drug problem that's coming through the casino, it's just a regular casino. Like, it's not a problem these days. Maybe in these days, but back then, that was just like, oh, a den of vice. Because they really should have beat you over the head of, like, this one building is just, like, sin.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's got the weird stripping stuff, like, the weird strippers in there. It's got, like, there's a little scene of, like, Kevin Durant's, like, slipping someone drugs. Like,
town isn't just going to be fixed by the one thing. Like, it's going to need a lot of things to revitalize the business. But I'm surprised this town doesn't have, like, a tourist thing. It's looks like a beautiful town.
Yeah, like some sort of like, you know, hiking or something. Or an
Airbnb combination, yeah. Hike trails, nature, you know, just. It's so like a town in nature that it's not a regular city. But then they treat it as if it's like another world or another like part of America where you only can get in by boat. And then.
Yes, yeah.
And then the only thing to do at night is to go to this casino.
Mm-hmm. I love like yeah the opening scene where like The Rock just like walks for miles.
So I get what you mean where we watched Roadhouse the 2024 version, and it's more of that where this guy wanders in and fixes the town.
Yep.
But it's grounded in reality because you see like his high school. They mentioned his like leg injury. His kind of like roots here.
He was a college football player. He washed out, and then he joined the army.
He washed out because of a knee injury.
Yeah, which I think is isn't that like the Rock's like actual like that happened to him?
I think so too.
Because like he was in like was he like a like Canadian football player, and then like he got injured, and then it's like, oh, I'm a wrestler now. Like, or I think he didn't get drafted. I don't think he was gonna be in the NFL, but he didn't get drafted, and then it's like, oh, I guess I'll be a wrestler now because like I didn't get drafted in the NFL.
And yeah, he found his calling. Mm-hmm. Isn't that the same plot as Ballers?
I think there's a lot of like true Rock stuff in like the Rock's character in Ballers, where it's like, oh yeah, I was gonna be in the NFL, but I didn't get drafted. I didn't
make it to the next round.
There's a lot of details from like the Rock's like football career that are in like the Ballers character.
I would have loved that every other movie that the Rock is in is something like that. It's like Scorpion King. He couldn't be the football player of that era because of a leg injury. And then in
Hobbs,
Doom,
Hobbs was going to be a football player.
Hobbs was going to be a football player.
Well, I mean, a couple years after Walking Tall, he was in Gridiron Gang, like just straight up football. Like, yeah.
See what I mean? Like, there's a Rock pattern to it.
But Walking Tall, it's still pretty fun. Like, definitely, I would put it like mid tier Rock. Like, he's definitely had like a lot more like better movies after this, and but I mean this is the worst. It's not the best. It's like right like a very solid middle tier Rock movie.
I feel like it's a good introduction to Rock action movies. It's a good showcase of like his action prowesses, but not so much as comedic side just yet. And then like I said, it's out of order. You see this movie first as your first Rock movie, and then you see where it goes from here. Like, he doesn't have the eyebrow thing he does as much. He doesn't do flirting well.
Which I think a lot of that is in like The Rundown, which is the movie that came out before this.
So I'm like, it's so weird. It's so like,
the Rundown is more like The Rock, and then this one's like The Walking Tall is like he's trying to turn into Dwayne Johnson.
That's what it was too. He wanted to get away from it.
Yeah,
but I also feel if you knew The Rock from just the movies, this is fine. But if you knew The Rock from wrestling, then this is weirder.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it's a much more subdued Rock. Like, he's not like, he's not smack talking. He's not like, you say, like I said, eyebrow thing. He's not like doing like over top like wrestling moves. Like, he's just like trying to be more serious, trying to be more dramatic, trying to like be a serious actor. Within like a movie that sells like ridiculous scenes.
Yep.
But go check it out if you haven't seen it. It's on Max. If you want to watch it. So I think that'll do us for this week's podcast. Come back next week. We're gonna be talking about the original Mad Max, which is celebrating its 45th anniversary. And it's also kind of ties into Fallout, because Fallout's starting next week on Amazon Prime. And so, it's apocalyptic. We'll talk about one apocalyptic movie as another apocalyptic thing starts up. So, yeah, come back for all your for OG Mad Max. We'll dive into like how weird that is compared to the rest of the series, especially like now that we got like Fury Road and like Furiosa coming up, and like watching those compared to the original Mad Max, it's very jarring.
It's not a stylized.
Yes, it's like Evil Dead to like Army of Darkness. Like,
yeah, you could see the, I guess, gritty filmmaking in the original Mad Max. Mm-hmm. I can't wait to talk about it. Yep. Can't wait to watch it and forget about certain scenes again.
Mm-hmm. So come back next week for that. Check out all the rest of our episodes. They're on YouTube now. So if you go on YouTube, search for Everything Action, you can check out all the previous episodes and get commentaries and all the podcast episodes on there. Head over to the site, check all that stuff out too. If you head over to the site, we also have, I have a review of Godzilla X Kong, if you want to read my review of that movie. And we have our PAX East 2024 article up, so you can check out everything we saw and did at PAX East a couple weeks ago in Boston. We have all the games we played, all the stuff we saw, so check that out as well. And head over to our site for all of our usual features as well. And so for Chris, I am Zach, and we will see you next week. For more Everything Action, head to www.everythingaction.com. You can also follow us on Twitter at EVAction, on Facebook by searching for Everything Action, and follow us on Instagram at everything.action. You can also subscribe and get more episodes on Apple Podcasts and Spotify.